Osho, the New Dawn, Responses to Disciples' Questions, given at the Osho Coming International, Pune, India. Discourse number 1.
Beloved Book 1, I have tried and cannot find the words that adequately convey the beauty of those moments when you enter the auditorium. I see the heads of my beloved friends bend down. Their love and reverence for you is so poignant and touches me so deeply. And when your eyes fall on mine, I feel as if I am drinking from a chalice full of golden light. This connection between you and us, your devotees, this is the real Holy Communion, isn't it?
There is still the connection the merging and the melting that can be called communion is one of the great secrets of religious life. We have to understand another world before we can comprehend the meaning and the fragrance of the word communion. And that word is communication. We all know what it means. When two persons are meeting, without meeting, without any merging, without any melting, both are keeping a safe distance from each other. It is called communication. They may be talking, but nobody is hearing. They are talking almost as if in sleep. Their talk may be apparently relevant, rational, But deep down, it is something totally different. When one is speaking, the other is pretending to listen, but he is really preparing himself what he is going to say after the other stops. He is not silent. He is not absorbing. He is not allowing the other to approach his heart. In fact, when two persons are meeting, there are four persons, not two. Two are the real persons, which are hidden behind two false personalities. Both are pretending to be what they are not. Both are trying to show their best. Both are on exhibition. Both are showmen. The real persons are hidden behind. They are unapproachable. You can at the most have a contact with the mask, with the personality. And because the personality is false, all its promises are false, all its commitments are false. It says something, it does just the opposite. It says something, it means something else. To watch two persons just as an observer, you will be surprised. That nobody is hearing anybody, and yet both are pretending. They are not only hearing, they are understanding, they are responding. And what is their response? Just they catch a word and they jump in. And it starts talking, it seems to be related because they have caught a word from your talk. But they are not responding to you, they have been preparing what they are saying without hearing you. I have heard an old man is sitting in a railway compartment, and a young man in front of him asked "Can I know the time?" The old man has a watch but the old man thinks for a while. A young man thinks it is strange, I have just asked about time. What he is thinking? Perhaps he is deaf, he is old. So he shouts loudly that I want to know what is the time. The old man said, listen, young man, I'm not deaf. I have heard that you want to know what is the time. But I was thinking whether to tell you the time or not. Because life is such a puzzling affair and I am so experienced. The young man said, it is such a simple question, you have the watch. You can just tell me the time, there is no problem, no puzzle, nothing. He said, you don't understand. Once I tell you the time, one thing leads to another. I will ask you, where are you going? And you will say, the next station. And I will say, that's it. I am also going there. In fact, I live there. So why don't you come and have a cup of coffee with us? But I have a young girl, very beautiful. And it is absolutely certain that you will fall in love with each other. And I don't want my daughter to be married to a man who does not have even a wristwatch. So I was thinking that now this young man is trying to create a trouble for me. Life is certainly puzzling. And these people are conversing with each other. Two professors were in the same madhouse. And the superintendent wanted to know what happens if they are both put in the same cell. Both were great intellectuals, well-known writers, so he puts them both in one cell and he has a small window from where he can watch, but they cannot see him. And they immediately get into a very involved conversation. And he is puzzled because one is talking about the earth, the other is talking about the sky. And the conversation is going perfectly well. There is no connection at all. It is impossible to find at what point they connect. They are like parallel lines which never meet, but go on running side by side. Finally, he opens the door. He cannot keep his temptation, and he asked them that I cannot understand. You both are talking and talking beautifully, but you are not relating with each other. And they both said, you need not be worried. We know the art of conversation. I wait while he talks. When he stops, I talk. He waits. He is a very polite fellow. When I stop, he starts. This is the art of conversation. But the superintendent said, but you don't connect with each other. And both laughed. And they said, who connects with each other? In the whole world, people are only pretending to connect. Otherwise, everybody is waiting for the other to stop so he can start. He says what he wants to say. It has nothing to do with the other person and what he has said. You just watch yourself talking to people. And you will be surprised that those two mad professors were not wrong about everybody. Paddy and Mick met in the street. Have you seen Mulligan lately? Said Paddy. Well, answered Nick, I have and I have not. And what do you mean by that? Said Paddy. Well, said Nick, it is like this. I saw a chap that he thought was me. And when we got up to one another, it was neither of us. It looks insane. But whenever you are meeting with people, neither you are you, nor the other person is himself. Both are having a facade, a mask. Both are hiding behind it. The realities don't come in contact. Only the hypocrisy. Communicate. And communication is the only thing we ordinarily know. Communion is possible when the personalities are dropped. And instead of four, there are only two. The real and authentic being. Communion is a silent meeting. Just as the river disappears in the ocean, two beings disappear into each other without holding anything there. Two flames come close to each other and suddenly become one flame. Neither loses anything, and both gain all the treasures of the other. Manisha, you are saying, I have tried and cannot find the words that adequately convey the beauty of those moments when you enter the auditorium. Words will always fail. Whenever something really beautiful, something existential, something of the beyond, something sacred is happening, words simply fall short. Always remember, when words fall short, it is a very blissful moment. When you cannot express it, then it has some significance. If you can express it, if it is possible to put it into words and language, then it is just something below mind. And everything below mind is mundane. And everything beyond the mind is sacred. But that which is beyond mind cannot be put into language, into words. So whenever you see a moment arising in you that is far bigger that no word can contain it, you are blessed. You are showered by flowers from the beyond. You are saying, I see the head of my beloved friends bend down. Their love and reverence for you is so poignant and touches me so deeply. And when your eyes fall on mine, I feel as if I am drinking from a chalice full of golden light. This connection between you and us, your devotees, this is the real holy communion. Is not it? Yes, this is the holy communion. Where the egos disappear. In a great flood of love, where a small mind are left far behind, and you are flying like eagles across the sun in the infinity of the sky, where you are not bounded by your bodies, by your minds, where suddenly you have become a freedom, a spirit. And if there are many people together in the same space, it certainly deepens the mystery, the glory, the magnificence, the divineness of the moment. Yes, Manisha, this is what I call holy communion. I have not been there for a long time. In certain moments you join me and you are also no more. In this silence, in this nothingness, where neither I am nor you are, but only a silence prevails, this is the holy communion. This is the greatest beatitude, the highest benediction. This is the door to the divine. This is the door invisible to the eyes, but perfectly visible to the inner being. Those who enter this door are no more Hindus, no more Christians, no more Buddhists. They are simply pure spirit, just innocent beings with a fragrance they have never known, which surrounds them with a light that dispels all darkness. and with a music which is without any sound, and a feeling of dance, although there is not any movement. This is the great secret of being religious.
Beloved Book One, many Germans think Martin Luther to be a great rebel. He toppled the absolute power of the Pope, made the Latin Bible available to all by translating it, and married a nun. Yet he immediately joined other vested interests, and the whole event is called the Reformation. Can you please speak on the difference between rebellion and reformation, and whether real rebellion can turn into reformation?
Prem Nirvana I have never spoken on Martin Luther, for a particular reason. He was neither rebellious nor religious. He was a pure politician. He toppled the power of Pope, not because he was against power. He wanted to have it himself. He was jealous of it. Because he could not get it, he created a split in Christianity between those who followed the Pope and those who followed Martin Luther. His desire for power was so great that as soon as he has created the split in Christianity, he immediately joined hands with the vested interest. This is not possible for a rebel. A rebel is always a rebel. It does not matter who has the power. He is always against people having power. His whole philosophy is decentralization of power. Power should not be centralized in few hands, either political or economic or religious. It should be decentralized. It should be given to everybody, to every individual, his own power. Nobody should be in possession of somebody else's power. He was a cunning politician. It was his cunningness and political acumen that he managed to create a rift in Christianity. Pretending to be a great rebel, jealousy finds thousand and one ways to hide its face. His whole mind was bent upon to become the Pope. But if it was not possible, then he will not allow anybody else to remain in absolute power. The people who followed him are not accidentally called Protestants. Basically, he was protesting against the power of Pope. But not in order that the power should be distributed, but in order that he should be given the power. And just to show that he does not care about the Pope, he married a nun. That he does not care about the Pope, he translated the Bible in the living languages. Pope was against, for both. A monk should be a celibate. And the Pope was not willing to translate the Bible in the ordinary languages which people use. The reasons are clear. It is not only the Pope. All the religions in the world have resisted that their holy scriptures should be translated into the living languages which people speak. The fear is that if they can understand what is written in the holy scripture, they will pass through a great shock, because there is nothing much holy in it, and there is so much unholy in it. These so-called holy scriptures cannot be even considered. Great literature. there its standard is so mundane, so mediocre, that it is better all the religions of the world have thought that they should remain in the languages which nobody understands anymore. When you hear somebody chanting sutras in Sanskrit, it seems they must have meaning of tremendous significance. Particularly, all old languages are very musical. They had to be, because writing came in existence very late. People had to remember, and it is easier to remember poetry than to remember prose. So all holy scriptures are poetic. And all old languages, Latin, Greek, Sanskrit, Arabic, Persian, Chinese, they are all very musical. If you don't understand them, they sound great. It feels that there must be a secret hidden meaning in these musical, beautiful words. Translated, they fall flat on the ground. There is nothing much in it. They are so ordinary that sometimes one feels ashamed that this is my holy scripture. Much of the holy scriptures are full of obscenity, full of pornography. The Holy Bible has 500 pages of sheer pornography. The Pope was afraid to bring the Bible in ordinary languages, living which people know and use is dangerous. And celibacy was the fundamental attitude of all religions, not only of Christianity. Martin Luther was so angry because he could not become the Pope. And it was not in his hands to become the Pope. A Pope is elected by the cardinals. They have a special way of electing a Pope. Perhaps there are 200 cardinals, topmost they gather in the Vatican whenever one Pope dies, and they have a special place in Vatican where they have 200 Ismail says, these cardinals for 24 hours move into those cells fasting, praying, finding the message of God within their hearts. That who should be the Pope? After 24 hours, they write the name of one of the cardinals. From those 200 cardinals, then all those pieces of paper are collected, and whoever gets more votes, whoever gets his name written by more cardinals than anybody else is chosen the Pope. It is a very strange election. You cannot propagate. You cannot ask somebody, please give your vote to me. It is prohibited. And you cannot meet while you are deciding anybody else. You are closed in your small cell. It is hoped that fasting and praying, you will do something which will be right, which will not come out of political consideration, but which will come out of deeper feeling, who is really capable of being the head of the whole religion, because he is going to be the representative of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther has no hope. But he could create a protest and particularly he has chosen 2 points in which people will support him. This is simple politics, because many priests, bishops and cardinals wanted to get married. But had not the courage to fight against the tradition. And when Martin Luther married a nun, immediately so many other priests and bishops followed. Not that they were convinced that Martin Luther's ideology is right, but because he was giving them an opportunity to remain a Christian and yet to get married. They were tired of suppressing and the masses supported him because he was bringing the Bible in the language of the people. People wanted to know what is in the Bible. It was a mystery to them. He could not become the Pope of the whole Christianity, but he became the head of the Protestant Church. He became another Pope by a sect which has broken away from the mainstream. I have never spoken on him consideredly because I don't count him in any way amongst the religious people. He was not rebellious at all. He was simply jealous. And that is the reason why immediately as he separated from the church, created a new sect, he immediately joined hands with the establishment of other vested interests. Because he needed power, he needed money, he needed new churches, he needed everything to create a whole religion, and he has created it. It is called in the books of history, Nirvana, Reformation. In a very ordinary way, it can be called a reformation. Nothing much to brag about. What is great in marrying a nun? Is there some great revolution happening? Millions of people are married. What is great in translating the Bible from Latin? Because it was translated from Hebrew into Greek, from Greek into Latin. So what is the problem? It has been already translated into different languages. Now it can be translated into English, into German. Yes, there is some kind of reformation, but I don't give any value to it. One man came to me few years before. With a letter of introduction from one of my old professors, that this man is a very revolutionary. You will like him, and I am sending him to you. He always wanted to meet you. I asked him what kind of revolution you have done, or what kind of revolutionary thoughts you have. He said, I have married a widow. I said, what revolution is this? Every widow should be allowed to be married. What this is all revolution that you have done, or any other revolution? He said, up to now only this revolution I have done. I said, this is not much of a revolution. In another place I met a man who was known in that area, very revolutionary, and what he was doing? He was doing collective marriages. Ordinarily, one man goes to marry another woman, he will collect a dozen women and dozen men to cut the expenses. And just one priest can do the whole process for one dozen couples. There is no need to do it one dozen times. And he was thought a great social revolutionary. I said, what kind of a revolution you are doing? But these are the things that are thought to be revolutionary. What Martin Luther has done is just ordinary. It does not make any change into the human consciousness. It has not raised the Protestant Christians in any way in consciousness higher to the Catholics. It does not in any way contribute to the betterment of humanity. Just it has fulfilled an egoist desire of Martin Luther to be himself a pope, the head of the Protestant religion, which he claimed to be the real successor of Jesus Christ. These kind of reformations I am not interested at all. Basically, they are stupid. Just few days before, one of my sannyasins was going to be married. She has been divorced by her husband. And she brought the form to me. for applying into the registrar's office for getting married, and there was a clause, are you married or not? And her advocate had suggested that you have to write that you are divorced. I said, don't write, because the moment you write you are divorced, then a long paperwork to prove find testimonies, certificates, divorce certificates from magistrates. Just write unmarried. Because the form is simply asking married or unmarried. It is not asking divorce or not. And once you are divorced, you are simply unmarried. You are again ready for marriage. What divorce means? Simply that you are no more married. You are again a miss. He said, but my advocate says that. I said, forget all about that advocate. You simply write your name with a miss, unmarried. You can get married as many times you want, and you can get unmarried as many times you want. But each time you get unmarried, you are again a miss. But people will start claiming such things, revolution, social reformation. Revolution is a big word. It should change some foundations of life. Reformation is not that great big, but still it should formulate better life system. What Martin Luther has done, translated the Bible in German, became himself a head and proclaimed that I am the real representative of Jesus Christ, because he was not having any hope or any possibility to be chosen to be a pope. He was so stubborn and so egoistic that nobody wanted him. He was not even a cardinal. The question of being chosen as a pope does not arise. So it is just ambition, and to fulfill his ambition he has to persuade the public mind that he is doing something good for their welfare. Of course, nuns liked it, because many nuns were dying to get married. Many monks liked it. They were dying to get married and they could not say it to anyone. The people who followed him were the people who were cowards and could not take a stand on their own. And masses loved the idea that the Bible should be available in their own language. But it changes nothing. Instead of one pope, now there are two popes. Instead of one Christianity, now there are two Christianities. And what is the difference between them? Just these are the differences. Not even worth calling differences. Paddy was dawdling on the way to work, looking half asleep. Mick caught up with him. "What is wrong with you this fine morning?" asked Mick. "You look half asleep." "I am half asleep," said Paddy. "I was up half the night." "What was the trouble?" pursued Mick. "It was the cat," replied Paddy. "I had to sit up till midnight waiting for her to come in, so I could put her out for the night." Reformation, revolution, rebellion. We have to take these words out of the hands of those people who have destroyed their beauty and their meaning.
Beloved Book One, growth is my passion, transformation my first love. Because I hold the belief that growth comes through hard work, struggle, and agony, I am happiest when I am in pain, which I interpret as being useful for my growth. I keep this belief because my experience is that many times after deep suffering, a breakthrough happens for me. Would you please explain the suffering I feel as a seeker and how it differs from my old neurotic misery?
Abhibhava, I think you have a certain point of significance . Misery can certainly be different from suffering. It may not be, but there is a possibility of it being different. Misery is a state of mind. When the night is dark and you don't have even a hope of any dawn, then all hope dies. You shrink within yourself. You want to die, but you cannot die either. You cannot live, you cannot die. You are crushed between the two. This kind of misery does not help growth. On the contrary, it destroys all the possibilities of growth. The night becomes longer and longer, and the dawn goes on farther and farther. Instead of having a breakthrough, you can only have a breakdown. But there are states of mind when you are in suffering. Misery is absolutely negative. Suffering has a positive side to it. Suffering means you have a longing, a hope, and you are not finding a way. You are searching, but you are failing again and again. You are trying your best to come out of it. You are struggling with your suffering. You have not accepted it as your fate. Then there is a possibility that the night will end, a new dawn, a new beginning, a new consciousness. The difference is whether you have accepted your suffering as your fate, that this is all life is, then it is misery. If you have not accepted it as your life, but only birth pains, that when you are being born, you have to pass through certain things. But there is a future beyond pain. And the pain is going to help you to reach to that state beyond it. Then suffering has a possibility of breakthrough, and Avibhava, as I know you, I have been watching you . It is something special that you may start crying in a moment, and tears, big tears, real big tears. And then suddenly all the clouds have moved, and Avibhava starts smiling, a beautiful smile. The tears have disappeared, and within a second again, how many seconds it takes for me to come from the room to my chair, or to go from my chair back to the room. In this small time span, Abhivava can go into many breakthroughs. Just I go on watching her, and she goes on changing. Any moment, absolutely unpredictable, so many seasons come and go. And between all this tears and laughter, she looks absolutely innocent, like a child. Utterly pure. Her tears don't look of misery. And her observation seems to be perfectly right. Perhaps what brings tears to her eyes helps her to move towards laughter. And so easy and quick is the change . Everybody once in a while feels such things, but you have old tight gear, you have to change with hand. She has automatic gear. Just for no reason at all. One moment, Just one joke for her. Heini Goldberg was stopped on the highway for speeding. The traffic officer was about to book him when he saw there were 15 penguins sitting in the back seat of Heini's car. "What are those penguins doing there?" asked the traffic officer. "They were hitching a ride," said Heini. "So I picked them up. I'm on my way to taking them to the zoo." "Okay," said the traffic officer. "I will let you off this time." The following week, Heini was stopped for speeding on the highway again by the same traffic officer, who recognized the same 15 penguins in the back of that car. This time all the penguins were wearing sunglasses. "I thought you said you were taking those penguins to the zoo," said the traffic officer. "Yes, officer," said Heini. "That was last week. Today we are going to the beach."
Good.